Brenda Bruce, Audrey Russell, Clive Morton, and Alexander John in Host Planet Earth, a serial in 6 parts by Anne Howell and Colin Cooper. A new discovery enables spacecraft to reach distant regions of the universe within weeks instead of years, and the first manned rocket is due to return. But some very mysterious forces seem to be at work, and there have been several deaths. Claire Stewart, a scientist, and David Holland, a reporter, believe the deadly parasites from another planet may be returning with the rocket. Part 5, The Arrival. Host Planet Earth.
We are now taking you over to the rocket site at Stowmarket, where Audrey Russell is waiting to report the landing of the world's first interstellar spacecraft.
Good morning from Stowmarket, where the sun has broken through the early morning mist and thousands of people have gathered to witness what is indeed a most historic occasion, the return to Earth of Starfarer, the British-designed, British-built and British-manned ship, which has staggered the experts of the world by penetrating farther into space than anyone has ever dreamed would be possible. Starfarer is now in orbit some 200 miles above us. Professor James Ormskirk, director of the Stellar Research Establishment and the brain behind the revolutionary chute theory that made Starfarer possible, expects to bring the ship down in an open space very near to where we're standing. Now, if this is feasible, it will surely demonstrate the uncanny precision of the computerized controls with which Starfarer is equipped. From here, I can see a formidable row of fire engines, ambulances, mobile television cameras, and so on. Let us hope that the ambulances and fire appliances at least will not be necessary. And among the hundreds of officials, doctors and policemen, I can see many well-known faces. The Secretary of State for Air, the American military attaché, the Astronomer Royal is here. There are observers from several other countries, including Soviet Russia, and the Lord Lieutenant of Suffolk. Now, we've heard and read much in the last few hours about the enormous number of new possibilities opened up by this tremendous breakthrough on the part of British science. But what does the ordinary man think of it all? How is it going to affect the man in the street? We'll now go down into the crowds to find out. Excuse me, how do you feel about trips to outer space and back? Are you in favor?
Definitely.
You think it's a good thing?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Would you travel to outer space if you were given the chance?
I'm not sure about that.
It's been suggested that Starfarer may be bringing back samples of life from other planets, including intelligent beings very similar to ourselves. Would you be prepared to welcome them?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Unconditionally?
Well, if there's life on other planets, we must get to know about it, see what they're like. That's what I say. I mean, we don't know till we've seen them, do we?
Would you be put off if they were different? If they had tentacles instead of arms, that sort of thing?
Well, I expect we'd seem funny to them. Live and let live, that's what I say. Takes all kinds to make a world, the universe. And speaking for myself, I would be very happy to welcome any visitors from another planet.
That's right.
What about you, madam?
I think it's wonderful.
Oh, you're from London. Have you come down specially here to see the landing?
Oh, no. We come up to see my sister. So we thought, well, while we're here, we might as well come along and have a look.
Are you proud that Britain is the first in the field?
Well, I was against it at first. You know, interfering with God's creation and all that. It didn't seem right. We got our own world to worry about, and it didn't seem right not to go messing about with other people's. But now I've been and seen for myself, I've changed my mind.
Thank you. May I have your opinion, sir?
Yeah.
Are you prepared to support interplanetary relations?
Oh, certainly I am. I brought along a selection from our literature to present the first arrivals from another world, if we should be lucky enough to see them. To let them know what sort of people we are. The key to human character is to be found in our cultural heritage.
But what if they don't speak English?
Oh, well, that will be a drawback. Of course, I think it can be overcome.
Thank you. Now, you, madam, what are your views?
Professor Ormskirk must be amply rewarded for his services. I think he should receive a peerage in the next Percy Honours, even if it's only a life peerage. Well, we're always handing out honors to pop stars and sportsmen. Let's give something to the scientists for a change.
You obviously have a very high opinion of Professor Ormskirk.
I think he's a genius. And at this moment, he must certainly be the happiest man in the whole world.
Control to Starfarer. Control to Starfarer. Can you read me? Over.
Keep trying. It's all we can do.
Control to Starfarer. Control to Starfarer. Can you read me? I say again, can you read me? Over. Oh, I can't understand it, Professor. Their transmitter's on, but they're not using it.
We must contact them before we fire the retro rockets.
Oh, we've got to fire those rockets whether we contact them or not.
I don't like it, Nat.
That's a risk, of course, but we've got to take it. If they're sick or unable for any other reason to use their radio, then the sooner we bring them down, the better.
Why should they be sick?
You must admit it's a possibility.
I don't admit it. They were able to bring Starfarer out of the chute and back into orbit. If they could do that, there can't be much wrong with them.
Well, the computer program
the
would...
The computer didn't allow for the extra time. They're overdue. That means one of two things. Either the computer program broke down, or they deliberately broke it. Either way, they would have to depart from the program to get back into the Earth's orbit. And that means that at least up to entry, there was nothing wrong with them.
Professor?
Yes, Rathbone?
The Prime Minister's PPS wants to know the latest position.
Tell the Prime Minister's PPS to go to hell.
We shall have to say something.
Very well. Say that everything is proceeding according to plan and the ship will be brought down very shortly. And Rathbone?
Yes, Professor?
Don't waste time on the phone. Get someone else to deal with these nuisances. Your place is here in the control room with me. I need you. The retro rockets are due to be fired in less than half an hour, and we haven't established radio contact yet.
Very well, Professor.
Oh, Nat.
Professor?
Rathbone tells me you've been in touch with Claire Stewart.
Oh, Rathbone. That man's beginning to...
Hold on, Nat. I'm afraid you're losing confidence in the project, Nat.
Now, you forced me to say this. I believe that Claire is right. I believe there are dangers in space exploration we haven't even dreamed about yet.
Stay with us, Nat. See it through. We've got to bring those two men down alive.
Yes?
Claire?
Nat, what's happening?
We can't get radio contact.
That's bad.
They're going ahead with the retros.
Can't you stop them?
I can't, Claire. It's fantastic. I can't get anybody to realize just how serious this is.
David's gone to see the Minister of Defense.
Oh, will he be able to convince him?
He's got to. Can you ring me again?
I don't know. They seem to be watching me.
Listen, Nat. We're sending a man to Stowmarket, a West Indian, Chris Johnson. You've got to contact him.
Well, that's going to be difficult.
Well, it's terribly important. He understands more than any of us.
Well, what are you going to do now?
Follow David to the Ministry of Defense. I'm taking Johnson's twin brother. If he can't make them see the danger, no one can.
Well, how?
Well, Chris will explain when he sees you.
Yeah. Oh, look, I must get back. Rathbone's suspicious.
Good luck, Nat.
And you.
Now then, sir, you can't come along here expecting to see the Minister of Defense just like that. You'll have to go through the proper channels, same as anybody else. You go and write a letter asking for an appointment. That's the way to do it.
Look, man, I've told you, I haven't got time.
Ah, well, the minister's a very busy man, too. You can't expect him to give up his time to every private citizen who wants a word. Why, even VIPs have to make an appointment. Some very important VIPs, too.
I've got to see him now, before it's too late.
I'm sorry, sir, I can't help you.
David!
Claire! Thank God you've come. Chris catches train.
Yes. He promised to ring as soon as he gets to Stowmarket. David, they're running excursion trains. They're treating it like some kind of entertainment. It's too horrible to think about.
Don't think about it. We've got to find a way of getting the minister to see Peter. If he can be made to understand.
I'm afraid Peter's worse. I've left him in the taxi. You'll have to help me with him, David.
All right. Commissioner, there's a sick man. Would you mind giving me a hand?
Oh, dear. Collapsed, has he? Let me help you. Easy now. Take it easy, old man. That's the way. I'll get a chair for you to sit on, then we'll call the Red Cross and... Here, where are you going?
Sorry, can't stop to argue.
Come back. You come back here.
But why can't you get him? You must find him. I cannot be kept waiting. What do you want?
To see you, Minister.
Have you an appointment?
There wasn't time to make one.
Charles, come in, will you?
You've got to listen to me, Minister.
Show this gentleman out, Charles.
The world is on the brink of a catastrophe. I have proof...
Please be quiet. The Minister is on the phone.
And I'll wait till he's finished.
Now, look here. I don't care where he is or what he's doing. I want Professor Ormskirk brought to the telephone, and I want him brought quickly. That isn't a request, it's a command. Is that clear? I shall expect to hear from you within 5 minutes. Are you still here?
If that was Rathburn on the phone, we are wasting your time. He'll do everything in his power to see that that rocket lands. But you must prevent it. The safety of the world depends on it.
All right, Charles, I'll call you if I need you.
Yes, Minister.
Now, who exactly are you?
My name is Holland. I'm a reporter.
And this is a story?
It began that way, but it's a lot more now. You've got to believe me, sir. I'm pretty certain that rocket contains parasites which will spread over the face of the Earth and consume it.
Parasites?
It's their only function. Their only means of staying alive. They'll gorge themselves until there's not a living creature, not a blade of grass left in the world.
Do you have any proof?
Yes, it's here in these papers. But there's no time, sir. The rocket must be destroyed before it lands. You must give the order immediately.
Destroy it?
Look, sir. These creatures are radiating a force, and it's spreading.
A force?
Well, I can only describe it as a kind of hypnosis. There's a West Indian outside. Will you see him? He's highly susceptible to this force. He seems to have some visionary powers. Mm-hmm. ESP, telepathy, call it what you like. If I can't convince you, I'm sure he can.
Very well, I'll see him. I spent half my life listening to people who think they have visionary powers. One more isn't going to hurt.
Now, fire retro rockets 1 and 3. Fire 2 and 4.
The rocket's all gone, Chief.
Good. Good.
And now the long wait. Hmm.
Yes, the waiting. The worst part of all.
This is Audrey Russell from Stowmarket. News has just been received that the retro rockets have been fired successfully and Starfarer has begun the long descent to Earth. Indeed, the news is spreading out here amongst the crowds and the excitement amongst the assembled onlookers is mounting second by second. The police are finding it difficult to control the crowds as they surge forward to the estimated point of landing, or EPL, as the technicians here call it. One or two arrests, I'm afraid, have had to be made, and one policeman who tried to prevent a man from climbing over the protective wire fence was manhandled by the crowd. He was bruised and shaken and unfortunately had to be taken to hospital. Meanwhile, speculation has been growing about the two astronauts. People have been asking, why has no official statement been released? Radio contact has been possible for several hours. Why haven't we been told how they are? Has anything gone wrong? Well, we don't know. We can only wait until Professor Ormskirk and his team of scientists choose to release the information the whole world is waiting to hear. Surely, it can't be long now.
Try, Peter. Oh. Got to try.
I can't take a sick man as proof.
He has moments of coherence when he can communicate this vision, when he can make you see.
Mr. Holland, you can't expect a minister of the Crown to take action on the strength of the vision.
I have a theory to back up the vision, and some evidence to back up the theory.
The dominant twin theory, I think you said?
Yes. Briefly, it means that the only people with any chance of resisting this force are the dominant members of pairs of twins. And resistance seems to have something to do with being left-handed as well. The picture's not very clear.
You're asking me to believe a lot, Mr. Holland.
It's the only explanation that fits the known facts. Planets do become barren. Worlds do die. And it's going to be our turn next.
You mustn't think me unsympathetic. I assure you I'll keep a very close watch on the situation at Stowmarket. If there are any unexpected developments when the spacecraft lands, you may rely on us to take appropriate action.
But it may be too late then. Starfarer must be destroyed now.
Mr. Holland, you must realize what an impossible demand you are making. However, I will alert military and Air Force units in the vicinity.
But don't you see what...
I repeat, I am prepared to take action. But not until we have a chance of seeing and recognizing our enemies for what they are. It's still possible that these visitors, if indeed they exist, would turn out to be friendly. Are you willing to take the responsibility of ordering their extermination before we have even seen them? Not to mention the unfortunate astronauts. I'm not, Mr. Holland. Such an action on the part of Her Majesty's government would be quite unacceptable in the eyes of the civilized world. But I'm afraid that's all the time I can give you. Thank you for coming to see me.
It's landed. The spacecraft has landed. It's lying in an open space only a short distance away, a marvelous piece of work on the part of the scientists. And everyone is making their way to this beautiful, gleaming, cylindrical object lying so serenely on the green grass of Suffolk. It's hard to realize that it's traveled many millions of miles through space. The crowd is moving forward, getting in the way of the ambulances and the firefighting appliances. They will not now be needed, it seems, a fact for which we are all profoundly grateful. I can see the director of the project, the distinguished physicist, Professor Ormskirk, his white hair blowing untidily in the breeze as he's jolted across the field in an open Land Rover. This must be a great moment for him. The enthusiasm of the crowd is absolutely tremendous. This is the cup final, the coronation, the last night of the proms, all rolled into one vast spasm of excitement. This is the kind of welcome that's usually reserved for screen actresses and pop stars. But the two astronauts, they're playing it very, very cool. Not a sign of them yet. Obviously, they're delaying their appearance until the very last possible moment. But it can't be long now. In a very few moments, I feel, the hatches will open and then the celebrations will really begin.
Rathbone, keep those damn people away.
Stand back, please. Stand back. Inspector, can't you control them better than this?
We hadn't expected so many. I've sent for mounted reinforcements.
I hope they get here soon.
Get those hatches open, will you? Hurry, man, hurry.
We're doing our best, Professor.
They should have opened it from the inside.
I know that, you fool. Where's that ambulance?
Standing by, sir.
Oh, thank God it won't be needed.
Yeah, it's open.
I'm going in alone. Keep those photographers away. This isn't a peep show.
It's always pleasant to see new faces.
The hatch is now open, and Professor Ormskirk has gone in alone. But there's still no sign of the two astronauts. The crowd waiting is very quiet now, rather tense, expectant. Professor Ormskirk has just come out again. He's signaling. He's signaling to the waiting ambulance men. I'm afraid something has gone very wrong. Now two stretchers are being taken to the spacecraft. What can have happened? We shall soon know.
I'm afraid they...
What is it, sir?
As far as I can see, they're dead. Both dead.
Dead? But
I don't know, Nat. I don't know.
Here they come.
Oh,
my God.
Get them to the medical center, quickly.
I must go in.
Not yet.
The instruments.
No, Rathbone. Nat, close the hatch. Lock it. Inspector?
Yes, sir?
I want as many men as you can spare put on constant guard. No one is to approach the ship. No one. Is that clear?
I'm a bit short of men, sir.
And if they have any difficulty, they will be reinforced by our own security guards. Though I need hardly remind you that my men still have their normal duties to perform.
I'll see to it, sir.
Oh, listen to them, Professor.
What?
They're cheering.
Idiots. Don't they realize?
I can't stand it. You fools. Can't you see? They're dead.
Daddy!
Come along, Nat. Come along, you too, Rathbone. Driver?
Sir.
The medical center and hurry.
Right, sir.
I've seen some pretty unpleasant things, but this...
Then they are dead, Doctor.
Oh, beyond any question. I've got the helmets off. Look.
Oh, they're unrecognizable. What could have happened?
We'll know more about that when we've cut these space suits off them. Scissors, please, nurse. No, not those. The heavy ones.
Lock the doors, Rathbone.
Lock the doors?
You heard me.
You think you can halt progress by locking the doors?
What are you talking about, man? What has this got to do with progress?
Throughout history, the advance of intelligence has been checked by locked doors. But all that is changing now. We are going to throw the doors wide open. All the doors. Whose side are you going to be on, Professor Ormskirk? You must make up your mind, you know, quickly.
Get out, Rathbone. I'll speak to you later.
But, Professor, you must listen to me now.
Let's get him out of here.
Yes. Now, don't interfere, Mr. Blakey. I'm warning you.
See, they're locked and that they stay locked. Now then, Doctor.
If I cut just along here, then we should be able to... What on earth?
Well, Doctor?
Inside the suit. Look. My God. I've never seen... Never.
Kill it, Doctor. For God's sake, kill it.
Kill it?
Scissors, man. The scissors.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't? Look, there are more of them coming out.
Quit, man.
I can't do it, I tell you. I can't.
Oh, give me the scissors. I'll soon settle the...
They're on my wrist.
Get them off. Get them off.
I can't.
Oh, Doctor, help me. Can't get them off.
I cannot help you.
Get out of my way. Give me the scissors.
Kill them. Kill them.
Too late.
We must not kill. We must offer hospitality and friendship. We are the hosts now.
Charles, I must get hold of Ormskirk. I'll keep trying, Minister, but no one up there seems capable of giving us a coherent report.
I'd better go and see for myself. Get a helicopter laid on, will you? Or in this fellow Holland, I want another word with him.
Very good, Minister.
Defense here, sir. This rocket business, I can't get a coherent report. I'm going up to see for myself. The chiefs of staff have been alerted, just in case. Quite agree, it's too fantastic. And the situation may lead to something serious, and we must be prepared. No, I can't tell you any more, sir. That's why I'm going personally to... just one moment, Prime Minister. Well?
The car's waiting to take you to Battersea.
Where's that reporter?
Holland?
PM's being difficult.
They've gone to get him. His girlfriend's here, if that's any good.
The devil do I want with his girlfriend?
Well, she works at the rocket site. She seems to know a lot about it.
All right, bring her in. Hurry it up, please.
Right.
Sorry, Prime Minister. There's a person here who seems to know something. Yes, she's just coming in. I'll ask her.
Will you come in, please?
Young woman, I have the Prime Minister on the phone. If you know anything at all about the situation at Stowmarket, tell me at once.
We know that the two pilots are dead. Some living creatures were in the spaceship. There are some casualties.
In heaven's name, what are these creatures?
We don't know much about them yet. They're hairless, legless, and slimy. If you can imagine something about five times the size of an ordinary leech.
Leech? I've never seen a leech in my life.
And they kill.
Sir, there's no doubt the ship seems to have brought back some highly dangerous creatures. I think we'd better wait until I've seen them for myself. I'll report to you as soon as I get there. Goodbye, sir. I don't understand. Surely the police and the security guards between them can handle a few legless, hairless, leech-like, whatever they are.
The force is too strong. It's some sort of hypnotic power.
Hypnosis? How do we fight that?
How about the Department of Psychological Warfare?
At any other time, that would have sounded funny. All right, get through to them. Mr. Holland.
I came as quickly as I could.
What news?
Well, first of all, I better describe these creatures.
I've done that, David.
Well, then, they've multiplied fast. Unbelievably fast. They've occupied the whole of the medical center.
Oh.
Luckily, someone had the foresight to lock the doors, and it seems they aren't very good at opening doors. But it's only a matter of time before they get out.
No casualties?
No figures. Nearly all the medical staff.
Dead?
Yes. Oh. And several of the technical staff, including the chief engineer.
Nat?
Yes, Nat Blakey.
Oh, no.
Is Professor Ormskirk still in charge?
I assume so. I haven't been able to get any news of him.
Yes. You say these things are multiplying at a very fast rate?
A fantastic rate. They can fill a small room in half an hour.
Well, I can have an aircraft equipped with an air-to-ground missile over Stowmarket within 10 minutes.
No, it's useless. The pilots will be overcome by the hypnotic influence, just as the pilots of the spacecraft were.
How soon could you get some nerve gas to the area?
Well, there's a small supply at Colchester. But how do we put it into operation? The helicopters are out, for the reasons you've already mentioned. And if what you say is true, there seems every likelihood that land forces will be subject to the same hypnotic influence.
Some people are immune. I am, I think, and so is Miss Stewart now. There are one or two others we know.
You're volunteering?
Yes.
And you, Miss Stewart, are you willing to undertake this task?
Yes, I am.
Very well. Well, if you can manage to stun the creatures first, it should be a fairly simple matter to kill them afterwards. I'm afraid you and your friend may have to do that also.
Mm-hmm. How do we get there?
I have a helicopter waiting at Battersea. My car will take you there. Pick up anyone else you think may be able to help you. At Colchester, you will be equipped with respirators and given instructions in the operation of the cylinders. It's an unusual way of doing things, but then the circumstances aren't exactly usual, are they? I'll tell the PM. Defense here, sir. The position is worse. Many casualties. I propose to send in a group of volunteers with cylinders of nerve gas. When the creatures are paralyzed, we can decide how best to destroy them without risk to human life and undue damage to property. But, Prime Minister, the situation is serious. But, sir... I understand, Prime Minister. No action of any kind is to be taken.
But that's crazy.
Now, let me finish. No action of any kind is to be taken beyond the normal welcoming procedure applied to distinguished visitors from abroad.
Welcoming procedure?
Don't you see? The influence, he's been affected by it.
There's worse to come. The decision was taken after consultation with the palace. It is believed to be in accordance with popular opinion.
That's not surprising, when 9/10 of the population can be hypnotized by these creatures.
You've convinced me, Mr. Holland. I'm on your side.
Then we can still do something.
Yes. I must give the order myself.
It's our only chance. If we fail, it's the end of the world.
If we fail, we dare not take the risk. Get me the GOC Eastern Command, and for God's sake, hurry. This is the Minister of Defense. I...
Get the order.
I cannot do it.
Minister.
The world is welcoming these beings. It is right that we should also...
No, it's a trap, don't you see?
We must take advantage of this opportunity. We must get to know our visitors. We can learn many things from them. They will show us the meaning of existence.
You fool. They've caught you. They can only show us the meaning of death. Of death!
Host Planet Earth was written by Anne Howell and Colin Cooper and produced by Nesta Pay. Electronic sound and music was created by the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Brenda Bruce played the part of Claire Stewart, Audrey Russell the commentator, Clive Morton, Professor Ormskirk, and Alexander John, David Holland. Nat Blakey, Nigel Anthony, Rathbone, Timothy Bateson, Minister of Defense, Rolf Lefevre, Charles, Ian Thompson, Police Inspector, Preston Lockwood, Dr. Ronald Herdman, members of the crowd, Beth Boyd, Betty Hardy, Rolf Lefevre, and Preston Lockwood.